are 39 milahot, which constitute forms of work forbidden on the Sabbath. It's the why behind the way we do the things we do. Join Rabbi Moshe Schnurb now for Hilchos Shabbos, only on 101.9 High FM.
This is Soul to Soul on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kiddush, Parshas Toldos Tav Shin Pei Vav. Today is Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow isn't, but today is Rosh Chodesh Kislev. We're only about 3 weeks plus away from Hanukkah. And a very, very warm welcome to all of our radio family. Thank you so much for making time on a very busy Erev Shabbos afternoon to come spend a bit of time with us, hopefully to be inspired, hopefully to learn some Torah together and make a difference in our lives, make a difference, therefore, in the world. As usual, the program is sponsored as a Rafu Shalema for Cholim, both on our list and all of Cholim, Yosef Yitzchak ben Bela, Yerachmiel ben Etta, Zalman Yitzchak ben Feger Rivka, Avram Yankiv ben Sterna Sora, Dina Michal bas Sipora, Tzivia bas Etka, Lana Tevia bas Reina, Chaya Bela Natasha bas Shoshana Besech, Shor Chole Yisrael, amongst all those who might be in a situation of a problem, of crisis, where they need a bit of Yeshua, they need a bit of a hug and a kiss from the Rabbeinu Shlom Bez Hashem. In the schools of the Torah, we're learning together, and the schools of coming together to study on a Friday afternoon, to going into Shabbos. It's an amazing, amazing schools that Kosh Boko could bring about all sorts of things for Klai Yisrael. I want to talk today something, hopefully, Be'ez Hashem, that will raise us up, that will give us a bit of inspiration, based, of course, on the Pasha that we're going to read, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow in Shul. The Pasha says in the sort of towards the when we talk about the brachos where Yitzchak Avinu wants to give the blessings to his older son, he thinks the older son Esav, and of course Rivka knows the truth. Rivka knows that the brachos have to go to Yaakov, and therefore she engineers that Yaakov should be able to come in and take the brachas. And the Torah says, the Rivka Amra, Rivka said, El Yaakov b'no lema. She said to Yaakov, her son, saying, V'ata v'ni, and now my son, Shema b'koli, listen to my voice, l'asher ani mitzavo yisach. Right? Listen to what I'm going to command you. Right? Lechna latzon, go now, please, to the sheep, the kachli mishama, take me from there, shnei gidaye izim toivim, two very nice goats, ve'esam oisam matamim, I'm going to make beautiful, tasty food, lavicha, for your father. The Tefer Shleima asks a question, that this seems very, very difficult. For what purpose was there that Yaakov had to go? He had to go, and he had to bring the two goats for his mother. Surely the main thing was that she was going to prepare the food. She was going to prepare those delicacies for Yitzchak, and Yaakov would be the one to bring them to Yitzchak. What purpose was there? Does it have to say that she tells him, okay, I want you to go to the farm, wherever the animals are, and you have to go and bring the animals. What practical difference is there? Who's the one that goes to get the get? And as far as the actual story is concerned, what role does that particular detail of who brings the goats, what role does that actually play in the story? Says the Tver Shlomo, he says, you'll see that the Torah is hinting over here that any time a person is approaching the fulfillment of the learning of the Torah or fulfillment of mitzvahs, and a person himself knows how lowly we are and how our situation, how far away we are from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, we're really afraid sometimes to come forward, to open our lips. How can I serve Hashem? And even sometimes when we do the mitzvah, let's say we put on tefillin or something, right? We think to ourselves, do I know anything about the deep secrets that are alluded to in these mitzvahs? Right? And he knows very much that he has no idea what he's actually doing, not 1,000th of the incredible acts that he's doing, and he's afraid, therefore, to even go and do the avodah. And this pasuk is telling us exactly the opposite. And we're going to go away for a moment, and we're going to come back and discuss this a lot further. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Toldos Tov Shin Pei Vav. Today is Rosh Chodesh Kislev. We're talking about the importance of detail. Why does that have to tell us that Yaakov was sent to go and bring two goats so that his mother, Rivka, could prepare delicious food for his father, Yitzchak, so that Yitzchak would then be able to give Yaakov the brachas. So we're learning the holy words of the Teferi Shlomo. The Teferi Shlomo says, now that we generally feel so deficient when we come to do a mitzvah, we feel so insignificant. How can I don't know anything about Hashem. I don't know anything about the mitzvahs. So I understand the deep and hidden intentions behind the mitzvahs that I do. How can I even go and approach it? It sounds like a chutzpah. It's impudent of me to come forward and try to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Tver Shlomo, this is the illusion over here. This is what Rivka is saying, Yaakov. She's hinting to, she says, do you know that the Shekhinah, the Holy Shekhinah, says to a person, go and bring for me. You do whatever you have to do, whatever you're able to do. And I'm going to take that, whatever you do, and I'm going to make it into matamim lavicha. I'm going to make it into precious, precious, beautiful food, so to speak, beautiful spiritual food, enriched with all the vitamins, all the kavanas, all the intentions, all the deep secrets that are part of that mitzvah. I'll mix that in. I'll blend that into the mitzvah. And that's why, before we begin the Amidah, the Shemoneh Esrei, we always say, Hashem, Svasai Tevtach, Hashem, you please open up my mouth. Because Hashem will then help us to then help to that our tefillah should be accepted willingly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is really, really a bit of chizuk, a bit of encouragement to all those people that sort of, we imagine to ourselves that we don't have the ability to be successful. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't request, like I said, Hashem doesn't demand from a human being that we should always be successful, that we should always be victorious. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from us is that we should do as much as we are able to do. And if so, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guaranteeing us that Hashem will finish the job for him, as we said, the Gemara says, "Habol itayr." A person comes to purify himself, Mesaimim biyodai. They help him from Shemayim, and that should strengthen every single one of us with a new energy, with a new inspiration to start to do the avodah of Hashem, the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We find actually another example of this in our parsha. It says earlier, when we talk about the actual birth of Yaakov and Esav. So it says that Esav came out admoni, Esav came out all red, like kulay kadera seyar. I was all like fully made with his hair and stuff like that. But achrei chayin, afterwards yotza achiv, came out his brother. The yodoy echezes ba'akev Esav, and his hand was holding on to the heel of Esav. And it doesn't make any sense. It seems to be, why was Yaakov holding on to the heel of Esav? Did Yaakov somehow imagine that he would be able to sort of, hold Esav back and keep him in his mother's womb after he was already on the way out? Even as Rashi explains it, it's like the tube, you put the stone in first, so that's going to come out lost. So Yaakov was put in first. How did he even think? How did he imagine? And he was going to sort of be able to sort of leapfrog over Esav and be able to get out of the womb before. What purpose was there in him holding on to the heel of Esav? So the love of the Rebbe explains, quoting the Rebbe from Kotsk, and he says, the whole reason, why does a person sometimes, unfortunately, lose hope? Why do we despair, sometimes think that we can't be successful, that we can't actually do it anymore, both in our spiritual lives and even in our physical lives? It's only because he somehow imagines to himself that I am the one that's accomplishing. And therefore, when he sees that whatever it is that I'm doing isn't somehow being satisfactory, it isn't coming out the way I want it to come out, so then he gives up hope. He abandons it and just says, I can't do it. I'm not cut out for this. I can't be successful. Forget it. I'm going back to bed. I'm not going to try anymore. But if someone is a believer, and someone who has emuna, knows that whatever a person does, those are just, the marionette on the strings. We're just making a little bit of an attempt, a little bit of an effort, right? as much as we can. And even what I do, right? What actually happens, the accomplishment of what I do, happens through the hands of Hashem, the master of everything, of all actions. And this belief, this emuna, if a person has that understanding, that if I didn't succeed, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it to work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want this to succeed. And that will stop a person from ever giving up hope, because it's not dependent on him. And therefore, we have to do whatever we're able to do, and that's it. There's no more demands made of us. Similarly, when Yaakov saw that he was going to lose the firstborn, so he did whatever he had the ability to do, whatever he could manage to do, and at least he was holding on to the heel of Esav. And the truth is that in the merit of that effort, the events sort of developed that at the end of the story, he did get the firstborn, right? When Esav had this absolute folly, this absolute foolishness to sell the firstborn right, for what? For a bowl of soup? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who sees everything, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees into the hearts, into the consciousness of person, he saw that Yaakov's heart was aflame. He wanted so much to have that bechorah, and he had done whatever he could to get it. Hashem helped him that he actually received exactly what he wanted. And this has come to teach us that even if a person understands and a person sees that seemingly, as far as you can see it, all the gates are closed in front of him, and that if you really want something with all his heart and really and his, all his soul, and he doesn't rest and he's not quiet, but he does the maximum that he can possibly do, at the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to aid him beyond any sort of natural route, and he will attain that exactly that what he wants to attain, he will get. Now, we know that the Chofetz Chaim actually says this also. He says as follows: the whole concept of the wells that Yitzchak dug, it teaches us one thing, that a person should not feel weak, should not feel impotent, should not feel powerless to carry on the business, carry on what it was, whatever it is that he began. Right? Again, don't give up hope, and don't just drop everything. If Yitzchak Avinu dug a hole and didn't find water, so what did he do? He went and dug another hole until he finally found water. And if the Pelishtim came and they fought him over it, no problem. He moved away and he dug another well. And he kept on doing his holy work of digging the wells until at the end he dug and he found a beautiful, beautiful well where the Pelishtim didn't fight with him, and he called its name Rechavot. And that's the reality in all sorts of physical matters and spiritual matters, right? Whether it's in our business, whether it's our learning of Torah, if someone is not being successful in the beginning, in whatever he is, in his learning or his business, don't abandon the Torah. Don't abandon your business, because at the end, he will achieve what he needs to achieve. And even if the first couple of times he trips and falls, just maintain one's emunah, and at the end he will be successful. This is 101.9 Chai FM. We'll be back in a moment with much, much more.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Parshas Toldos, Tov Shin Pei. What we are talking about, we're talking about being strong. We're talking about not letting failure, not yet a lack of success, be something that's going to get you down and cause you to just give up hope and go back and bury your head in the sand. On the contrary, we have to understand that whatever we're doing is piloted by Hashem, and all we have to do is try as hard as we can. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, when He desires to, we'll take that and make those actions successful. And if not, then it's only because Hashem didn't want that to happen. Let's see, what is the value, what is the importance to a person's desire and a person's kind of urge to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how important that is. You know, it says when Rivka was struggling with her two sons when she was pregnant, and by Yisraitzitzu Habonim Bikirba, the two children were sort of violently struggling inside of her. And Rashi says that when she passed by sort of the opening of the yeshivot of Shem Be'ever, so Yaakov was running, he tried to get out. And when he sort of passed by the openings of places that were contrary to Torah belief, so then Esav tried to come out. And again, this is very difficult to understand. Why would Yaakov have tried for basically no reason to run out of the womb? Did he not see that during those 9 months he is confined in his mother's womb, and it's impossible to get out. Besides the fact, Esav is standing in front of him and stopping him from getting out. So the Divrei Yisrael explains, based on what it says in the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says that any person who wants and has a strong desire to see and to know and to understand, even though he really does not have the ability to achieve that, right? And everyone praises him with a tremendous, tremendous degree of praise for the very, very fact that he has this urge, that he has a desire to do something, and that's his will, then, please God, it will happen. So too, Yaakov Avinu, he had the very, very, very strong desire to get out and already spend this time in the Beis Hamikdash. And even though he knew that it wouldn't be successful, he couldn't get out, right? And still, the Torah writes this down to teach us the incredible, incredible benefit of just having a strong, ironclad desire to hear the Torah praises him for it. And he ends up and he says, so it is, we see, with everything that our avot, everything that our forefathers did, they bequeath over to us, to their children, right? That you can stand in a world where you're surrounded by all sorts of distractions, all sorts of preoccupations, be it your business, be it your family, be it whatever it is that's driving you, and suddenly you have this amazing thought, I want to do something. I want to be in the best marriage. I want to actually be doing a mitzvah now, not sitting in the office calculating whatever I'm calculating. I want to do something. And even though, you know, I got to work 9 to 5, I got to be in my job, I got to take care of my family, I got to do this, even though you can't actually go and actualize that desire, says Shvacha Yidilei, he's going to be praised in Shemayim tremendously for just the fact that he has that desire. You know, we learned in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, quoting Ben Azai. Ben Azai says, "Have ratz, person should run, la mitzvah kala, to a so-called easy mitzvah, kebachamura, as he runs to a more difficult mitzvah. Ubareach, and he should flee, should run away, minu avera, from any transgression, any bad deed. Why? Shemitzvah geireres mitzvah. Because one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. The avera geireres avera. And one avera leads, sort of drags together with it, another avera. And then, sheschar mitzvah, the reward for doing a mitzvah is a mitzvah, uschar avera avera. And the reward for doing avera is another avera. And the Ben Yoina tries to explain, what does the Mishnah mean when it says? It sounds like the Mishnah is saying that there's sort of two issues here. Number one, there's a fact that a mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. And the second, that the reward of a mitzvah is another mitzvah. And the Ben Yonah writes, no, it's true that there are sort of two concepts over here and two different issues, but there's really the concept of doing a mitzvah and one mitzvah leads a person inexorably to another mitzvah, right? Which is a natural phenomena, that doing one mitzvah causes a person to want another mitzvah, right? That a person, after he's done a mitzvah, is much, much more likely to do another mitzvah. And therefore, he adds on, and he says, and he continues to do mitzvahs. And then there's the second concept, which is a kind of a almost a skula, and that is that the schar, the reward for doing a mitzvah, is another mitzvah. And he says as follows, unquestionably, we're not talking here about the actual reward for the mitzvah. First of all, because we know that there is no actual reward for mitzvahs in this world. Right? This world is a completely physical world. A mitzvah is absolute spirituality. There's nothing in this world that could act as a reward for a mitzvah, or you could take as many noughts and add as many ones as you want in front of it. There's nothing in this world that measures up to the value of one mitzvah. Number two, it's not possible that the reward for a mitzvah is only another mitzvah, but the reward is set aside for a person in Olam HaBa, in the world to come. The intention of here is that in reality, a human being does not have the power to do anything. Everything is dependent on help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the hands of a human being the free choice. And after a person makes a decision to choose a particular road, so if he chooses a road that leads him in a good path, a road that's full of happiness, of fulfillment, so then he goes and HaKadosh Baruch Hu travels with him. And when that person does even one mitzvah, so that helps him to do another mitzvah. And God forbid, the other way around also, if a person chooses the path that leads straight sort of downhill, so then when he does even one transgression, HaKadosh Baruch Hu distances himself from that person and sort of leaves him to his own devices and gives him over into the hands of his own negative nature. And that's what it means, schar mitzvah, mitzvah, schar avera, avera. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu then helps you. The more we do mitzvahs, Hashem holds us by the hand and leads us and directs us and gives us more and more opportunities to do our mitzvahs. So we come out learning that everything is dependent on the choices that we make and the desires that we have. Because if a person wants to follow the positive path and he chooses a good, then, as we said, when he comes to purify himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him. And everything they do, everything that he does, is now being done with the support and the direct help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help him go one step after another, up and up and up, more and more actions. And each mitzvah adds to him more power and more courage to strengthen himself and go up even further. And the root of it all is his first choice and his first desire to do the right thing. And with this, we can even understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Cain. Cain, who committed that first egregious sin of murdering his own brother. So Hashem says to Cain, Lama charalach? Why are you so angry? Lama naflu panecha? Why are you looking so depressed? Halai im tetiv, if you act positively, says you have the ability to control and dominate even your yetzara. V'im lo tetiv, if you're not going to follow the good path, then lepetach chatof rovitz, then avera is waiting there to pounce upon you. Ve'elecha tshukasai, and he has the greatest desires to try to dominate you, but v'ata timshalbai, you have the ability to control and dominate him. And Rashi says, what does it mean? Ve'elecha tshukasai shalchatas. Chait, sin wants nothing better than to completely envelop and overwhelm you. That's the Yetzara. He's always, his greatest desire, his only desire, is to try to trip you up and get you to do a better. But, v'atal tim shalboy, if you want, you can overcome him. You can be victorious over the Yetzara. So we see that everything depends on our desire. If you really, really want that you want to accomplish something, because the truth is the Yetzara is like a malach. And how can a human being made out of physical material, how are we able to fight against and be victorious against a malach of Hashem? And that's what it says. That's the Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Lamed says that Yitzhak Shel Adam Mischadish Shalav. The Yetzer of a person renews its energy and tries to strengthen himself against the person every single day, and he wants to kill him. And Vilmole HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it wasn't for the fact that Hashem helps us, and Yochai, we would not be able to be victorious. Because the truth is, human beings do not have the energy, do not have the ability to overcome the Yetzirah. And the victory only comes with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's added power. And that's what Rashi is saying. In Tirtzeh, if you want, Tiskabra Lo, you have the ability to overcome the all the guiles of the Yetzirah. And the truth is, it really should say, the Yetzirah wants to get you. And if you fight against him, you'll be able to be victorious. Now, it doesn't say that. Rashi specifically wanted to teach us that everything is dependent only in our desire and in our decisions that we make. Because victory is completely beyond our power. We don't have the power to be victorious over any malach, certainly not the Yetzirah. We need the help, we need the support of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if a person really wants, and he does whatever he can do, then he merits the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him, and he'll be able to be successful. And the truth is, the power of a human desire, of a human quest for something is in itself, right? And where that desire comes from Kedusha, from holiness, so that gives a person tremendous, awesome amounts of power. And besides that, he merits this kayach of Hashem, the power of Hashem, to help him make the right decisions. And therefore, all we have to have is a desire for Kedusha, and then we can already fly. We've seen this when we talk in a few weeks' time about the building of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary, that Klal Yisrael were people who, their whole life in Mitzrayim, they were busy with mortar and bricks and working in the field and working with mud and clay. And now they had to build a Mishkan and to do incredibly, incredibly fine, artistic, a detailed kind of work, which required tremendous, tremendous craftsmanship and artisanship, right? And working with gold and silver and embroidery. They never learned, they never went to university, they never learned any of these disciplines. And there was no one who was going to teach them to be able to do that. And really, if you think about it, it was absolutely impossible in a natural way that they should have been able to meet the rigorous demands that building a Mishkan contains. Nevertheless, they came in front of Moshe and they said, "We'll do exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu wants us to do. And we will do, we will work with all the silver and all the gold and produce a perfect Mishkan." And that's why the Ramban explains, the Pasuk says, "Vayovoyu kol ish asher nisa oyeli bay." They came to Moshe, all those whose heart was elevated. What does it mean? It should have said, all those asher nadva rucha, all those who volunteered to do it. What does it mean, their heart was elevated? Right? But the intention is, you know, we talk about, there's a pasuk, by yigva liboy b'darkei Hashem. He elevated his heart in the ways of Hashem. That when they so much wanted to do the will of Hashem in building the Mishkan, that elevated, that lifted up their hearts to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, "We are able to build it." Even though they didn't have the foggiest idea, they didn't have at all the preparation or the know-how or the experience, the professional experience, to be able to do this kind of work. And based on this concept, The Maharsha explains, there's a statement of Rava. Rava was responding to a tzaduki, one of the heretics, who came in front of him and says, you're such a brash nation. How could you have said, Nase will do first and then Lishma will hear? That's an irresponsible a statement. First you go hear what you need to be done, and then you rationalize if you're able to do it or not, and then you take on to do it. How can you first just blanketly accept to do what Hashem wanted without even knowing what it wants? And Rava answered him, says, no. We know what we're doing. And the Maharsha explains, not exactly like Rashi, the intention is that in truth, certainly, we have to worry that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Hashem's going to ask us to do things that we don't have the ability to do them. And nevertheless, we accept it upon ourselves. And we said, we'll do, and then we'll find out what we have to do. Without even asking, without checking it out. Why? Because there's nothing lacking in our perfection. That anyone who does something out of pure love, therefore we're guaranteed that even if Hashem would ask us to do very, very difficult things that we don't have the ability to do, nevertheless, because of the love and because of our tremendous desire, we'll be able to do it and be successful, and we'll merit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help and be able to do it. So it comes out, therefore, according to what the Maharsha is saying, that was the main concept of Nase V'Nishma. We'll do, and then we'll hear. In other words, they knew that the incredible power of just desiring, of just being prepared to pick up the cudgels and do something. And with that strength, with that energy, they were guaranteed that they will be able to do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu would command them to do. A powerful lesson and a powerful motivation for us. We can. If we want to do something and we're motivated to do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the power and we'll be able to be successful in whatever it is that we need to be doing. This is 101.9 Chayatim. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with our Hilchos Shabbos slot.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, this is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Parashas Toldos Tov Shin Pei Vav Rosh Chodesh Kislev. We are on our way, Metz Hashem, to Hanukkah, just 3 weeks, a bit over the horizon, Metz Hashem. We'll get there very, very shortly, as we move then into the holiday period. But as we always do now, to give you the special times you need to know for this coming Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Toldos. So firstly, this afternoon, the earliest time for benching lit is at 5:15 on the dot. You can already light your candles and get Shabbos rolling in your house. That's a long time. It's like almost 2.5 hours from now. Plenty of time to get all the last minute details done and get yourself ready and get the house ready and be in a position to light your candles and then just turn off. Turn off the world, turn off the pressures, turn off the madness of outside and just focus on yourself. Focus on who you are, where you're going, what's going on in your life, what's going on in your family's life, and spend that extra hour of Shabbos, really sort of being holy, being special, being unique in your own self, in your own life, and just allowing the holiness, the specialness, the beautiful, the serenity of Shabbos to come and sort of engulf you and carry you along for the next 25 hours or so. What a beautiful, beautiful, actually 26 hours if you like, at 5:15. What a beautiful, beautiful thought. So 5:15 is the earliest time. Obviously, if you can't make that, 5:30 is great. 5:45 is absolutely fantastic. In fact, the latest time for benching lich this afternoon is at 6:21 minutes
past six, although of course many communities during this period of time adopt 6:15 as the standard candle lighting time throughout the entire summer. If your community is one of those, then certainly make an effort to light by 6:15, which of course means that if your community does that, then you are bound also to light at that time. And obviously, go to shul or kind of be part of what's going on. Shkia then is at 6:38. 6:38 is already sunset, and therefore obviously 6:21 certainly is the latest time at all to do any kind of work on Erev Shabbos, right? When one doesn't rely at all on that time afterwards, one doesn't rely on the time after candle lighting, only in an emergency situation to use that time. And obviously 6:38 being sunset, that's the absolute latest time. Therefore, if you want to make sure you're daven Ma'ariv at night, all you have to do is wait until 6:56, 4 minutes before 7 o'clock, and it's already proper night, and you can daven Ma'ariv at that time, fulfill the mitzvah, the Torah mitzvah of saying Krishma at night, and then obviously come home. And one has a beautiful, beautiful opportunity to spend some time with the family, have a beautiful, beautiful meal, sing some zemiras, say some words of Torah, talk about the week, talk about what impressed you or what made an impression on you during the past week. And of course, remember, we are all trying, if you can, to turn off those screens, turn off those devices. It was great on the Shabbos of the Shabbos Project. Let's try to spread it. You will find that it literally changes your life. You will look forward to Friday afternoon. You can finally shut off all that noise, all that harassment, all that stuff that comes into your life for 6 days of the week. Let it go. Turn it off and sort of continue with your life without it. Tomorrow, of course, is Shabbos Kodesh. Parshas Toldos, you know, very, very dramatic Parsha where Yaakov and Esav, the two twins and diametrically opposed forces, are born, and the sale of the firstborn right, and then, of course, the major incident with the taking of the blessings from Yitzchak. In between that, the whole incident of Yitzchak together with the good old Philistines and his wells, lots and lots to talk about. The Haftarah is then the standard Haftarah for Parshas Toldos. And Shabbos carries on. It's a beautiful Shabbos. Is getting really, really long and really so nice, so much time to have time with the family, to have a bit of a shluff, and to spend some really, really serious time studying Torah, because that really is what it's all about. And Shabbos Kodesh ends tomorrow night at 7:14, 14 minutes past 7. Plenty of time to really get into and enjoy Shabbos, and then we go into another amazing, amazing week as we come closer to the holiday period. We are learning the laws of electricity on Shabbos, electrical appliances, and I want to talk a little bit about timers, because Shabbos prohibitions become forbidden at the very, very beginning of Shabbos. In other words, once it's 6:15 or 6:21, all obligations of Shabbos kick in. But before Shabbos begins, so one can sort of take action whose effects will actually continue into Shabbos, right? We light candles before Shabbos. They're going to burn on Shabbos, but that's fine because I did the act of lighting before Shabbos. Another great example of this is using what's called a Shabbos clock, a timer, right? Now, such timers are usually connected to all or some of the power supply and to whatever appliance, and its settings control the flow of electricity, right? Determining when the device is actually going to turn on and when it's going to turn off. And this is how nowadays we can actually set electric lights to go on and off over the course of Shabbos. One may leave on lights before Shabbos and set the timer to turn them off at whatever time, whatever bedtime is, right? And then on again, sort of maybe at lunchtime, and off again for the afternoon schnooze, before turning on again for Sudash the Shit for later in the afternoon. Similarly, one can use a timer to turn on an electric oven or fan, right? Setting it so that the appliance will go on and off at the desired times. Now, let's say one sets a timer to turn off the lights. Let's say your bedtime, let's say 11 o'clock, you turn the lights off on Friday night. But then, let's say he decides, I don't know, you're getting to an interesting book, you're learning some Torah, and now you want to learn longer. So now you want to study Torah until midnight. So now you want to change that timer to go while it's on, to go off only at midnight. So some poskim say that he may not delay the time that the lights will be extinguished by adjusting the timer settings. Obviously, we're talking about a manual timer, not an electronic timer, which, of course, to start pressing buttons and changing the numbers is absolutely going to be forbidden. But we're talking about we have a manual one where you could just move hooks and things like that. So some said that even that is awesome, because in their opinion, the timer is kind of an integral part of the lighting system, and Chazal forbade taking any action that affects a change in the duration of the light's operation. So this can actually be inferred from what the Gemara says. Let's say, can you attach an oil-filled container to an oil lamp, which Chazal forbade out of concern that one might sort of remove some of the oil on Shabbos. More in Shabbos on day page 29, Beitza also. However, there's another perspective which we'll deal with after the break. It's 101.9 Chai FM. The program is soul to soul. Stay with us. We're coming back right now. They maintain that delaying the time the lights will go out.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, this is Soul to Soul, back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Pasha has told us, as we're discussing the use of timers on Shabbos, so Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, including others, have a sort of a different perspective. They actually maintain that delaying the time the lights will go out is comparable to the case of one who's sitting in a room, let's say with a lit oil lamp. If the wind starts to blow through his window, threatening to sort of extinguish the light, everyone agrees that he may close the window, even though this allows the lamp to burn longer. Since he's not doing anything to the lamp itself, but merely preventing the wind from blowing it out, there's no prohibition. Similarly, one who extends the settings of a timer is not doing anything to the light itself or to the electrical appliance, but merely preventing the timer from turning them off. Assuming that this action is permitted, then the switches on the timer are not muktza, and they may be adjusted. So many people rely on this lenient opinion, right? And extended also, let's say, if the electricity is off, so one is allowed to extend the time that it will remain off and have the lights go on later, right? If the electricity is on, so you can lengthen the time that it will remain on and have the lights go out later, right? Rav Neuwirth in Shmini Shabbos Kechosla even wants to argue that one, let's say, if the lights are in the off position, so that one could actually turn off a light switch, so that when the light goes back on, that light will not go on. Obviously, it goes without saying, one may not change the timer so that lights or appliances will go on or off earlier. For example, if let's say the lights are supposed to go off at midnight and now everyone wants to go to bed at 11, you may not change it to go off earlier, because although he's not actually turning them off directly, because his actions will not have any effect until 11 o'clock, nevertheless, indirectly causing lights to go off is also midrabanan, rabbinically forbidden. Similarly, if the timer was set to, let's say, turn the lights on at, let's say, 10 in the morning, it may not be adjusted to make the lights come on earlier, right? As again, indirectly causing lights to go on is an Isser Drabbanan. But that's all the time we have for today. Just enough time to wish you, can still wish you a good Chodesh for today, Chodesh Kislev, and a wonderful, beautiful, warm, and Gishmak Shabbos with family, with friends, with Torah, with closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to each and every one of our radio family. I want to wish Shabbat Shalom Vorach, a good Gebench to Shabbos.